Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello and welcome to Share Talk. Today I'm joined by Alan Lin, who's CEO at Providence Resources. How are you today, Alan?
Good. Thanks very much for inviting me to join you, Zach.
Right. I think the world and their mother is waiting for you to just explain the deal yesterday. It was a long time in the making, a long time coming. What are the highlights for you?
I personally, we've put a lot of effort into it, and I think it's a really good deal. It's really encouraging for me to see Barry Roe begin to move forward. One of the key things that we've been working towards is getting that field in commerciality. It's, you know, it was discovered many years ago, and it's been quite well appraised. It's one of the biggest fields that are undeveloped offshore in Europe, and it has unfortunately had a number of false starts commercially, but technically, the field has always been a strong performer. Which is one of the reasons I joined the company. And I'm really pleased that, you know, we've been able to put the time and the effort into coming up with what we consider to be, a managed development plan for the field. We put a lot of work into it, and we had to work out all the costs and everything in advance because of the way that we're carried through the project and the commitments that people were making. So there was a lot of detailed technical work that's gone on over the last few months, in addition to, you know, the legal conversations we've had around about contracts and the commercial negotiations we've had. We've built quite a strong understanding of what we want to do next. And I'm just pleased that we can start to get on and do it now.
Right. I mean, one of the beauties, the joys of being alive in 2020 is that you see social media comments from traders, et cetera, and you see them pretty quickly. And a lot of people involved, you know, they do actually know what they're talking about online. I think that the two factors or issues in terms of the announcement yesterday, one was, I think, the people seem to be a bit surprised that the oil won't be appearing until 2022 or late in 2022. So the time frame of this was maybe a bit longer than people were expecting. And then the second issue seemed to be that the announcement yesterday didn't quite cover all the funding part of this deal.
Okay. Well, look, let me deal with those one at a time. With respect to the timing for drilling, I mean, I would love to be out there drilling tomorrow. The reality of the situation is that the Irish regulatory system, you know, is well established and well developed and has been in place for many years. And the environmental side of the regulations have been strengthening in recent years, which is consistent with what's been happening elsewhere in the world. So in order to get permission to drill, we need to progress what's called an environmental impact assessment report. And there are a lot of components to that report that need to be completed, and completed very carefully. Otherwise, you end up with objections to the report as submitted, and that can cause delays. But just actually undertaking that work and getting it approved is probably 18 months' work, because it requires seasonal data and a lot of sort of input and consultation as well. So technically, in terms of bringing a drilling rig in and you know, designing the wells and getting the materials on site, that can all be done relatively quickly, albeit there is a rig approval process that we also need to go through in Ireland. So once we nominate a rig, it needs to provide all of the standards by which it was constructed and maintained to the Irish government. They do a review, they do an inspection before the rig's actually approved. So, and that typically takes about 6 months. So even if we didn't have the environmental impact assessment reports, we would still have sort of, you know, 6-7 months to get the rig approved. So so when you look up, and we can do that in parallel with the environmental impact assessment report. So we're basically saying that getting through the regulations is what controls the pace of the development, and that as soon as we've done that, We'll be out there drilling, and we think, based on what we know today, that that process takes about 18 months. So that's kind of what controls the initial drilling. Now, once we're out there drilling, you know, we've got four wells to drill, and we've got a subsea template to install. We've got the control umbilicals, which will go back to the FPSO, the mooring system. And, you know, each well could take up to 60 days to drill, but we'll get faster as we go. So the actual execution of the program is probably, you know, 280, 300 days sort of thing. And you know, by all field standards, it's a pretty aggressive program, and you know, we think we can achieve it. So I mean, that's what controls the pace. The financing, we've worked very hard with SpotOn on the financing, and they've got a very impressive business model that we like, and that we think once we get it over the line and people begin to understand how it's structured and how it works, that it will become sort of a model for developing fields going forwards, just because of the different kind of partnerships that are involved. What happens is, and look, there's commercially sensitive stuff here, so there's only so much I can go into, but fundamentally what happens is that we work or spot on contract with a group of service providers, and they're high quality service providers, and we've mentioned their names in the past. And what they agree to do is that they agree to defer a significant portion of their costs through the development, and they will recover those costs from the production that comes out of the field. And they've got an additional profit element that's associated with that they agree with SpotOn Energy, which I'm not going to get into and is commercially sensitive. But fundamentally, what that means is that quite a large portion of the capital that will be spent to bring the field online is injected via cost deferral. So that's kind of one significant element of the project. And you know, we're making very good progress on getting that completed. Another element is to do with us working with Norwegian companies. There's a number of facilities, or it's the main facility in Norway is the Norwegian Export Credit Facility, and GIEC, which is like a national export credit guarantee process. And Norwegian companies exporting equipment overseas can avail themselves of that facility to basically get a loan from the Norwegian government in order to cover the costs. So a lot of the facilities that we plan to install will be covered through that facility. The balance will be a bond issue, which we plan to go to the markets with very, very early in the new year. And it will be SpotOn that are running that bond, but we'll be very supportive. So, you know, there's a structure to it. It's well established. We know what we're doing, and basically it will ensure that the field is fully funded.
Right. So in terms of, because some people are saying that, you know, why does SpotOn, I mean, the balance between SpotOn and, say, Providence and, you know, and Lansdowne, etc., the balance there seems to be too much in SpotOn's favour. They'll be getting, you know, 80% of free cash flow until the debt is paid off. And you know, they've sort of got a lion's share of the whole situation. Is that balance, is that fair? And is that balance, I mean, are you happy with the balance between, you know, you and SpotOn?
Well, look, I mean, the way that the structure is set up is that there's, you know, there's going to be a debt to repay against the project. And there's a recognition that debt has got to be repaid, and the cash flow that SpotOn attract at the beginning of the project until the debt repays reflects that. We get free cash flow from day one, and albeit it's not the full proportion of our cash flow, but you know, that's positive cash flow that potentially can go back to investors from the first day of the production from the field.
Right.
So I think it's a good. I actually think it's a really good deal. So, you know, I, you know, I'm not going to share the field economics with you, but it does, the actual early production scheme does, and it does pay for itself very, very quickly. You know, I mean, Barry Row is break even at about $23 a barrel. You know, so, you know, we're getting close to 50 now. In 18 months' time, when the world is back to normal, I suspect, and this is just, you know, my own personal forecast, but I think we'll probably be somewhere between 60 and 65, and the project pays for itself very quickly at those oil prices.
And so would you say overall this is as good a deal as you would have hoped for, a better deal than you would have hoped for, or is it just the right deal?
That's a really good question, actually, because I think it's a really good deal. And I think it gets Barry Row done. You know, a number of deals have been done in the past, and they've come undone, and Barry Row has not been developed because of, you know, maybe people being overly aggressive commercially, because of the oil price collapsing, because of lots of different things. We're in a situation with the Barry Row development where, you know, we've looked at this field development, and we know at $40 a barrel, it makes money. And we've been living in the COVID world for the last 9 months, and we've been at $40 a barrel. And, you know, the world oil inventories have been topping out, demand has been low, and oil has been at $40 a barrel. So you look at that and you go, that's probably a reasonable bottom end of the scale of your economic modelling. So let's call 40 your low test case. We make a lot of money at 40. We make even more money at 65. The early development scheme that we're looking at is designed to manage the initial risks from the field. You know, we think we've got a full field development, but there's a few things we want to just test. You know, so we're coming in and we're, if you like, managing the scale of the development that we enter into initially. When that works, and I have a high degree of confidence that it will work, the field becomes self-funding out of the cash flows that are coming from the early development scheme. So you can then move quite aggressively into the full field development, and, you know, this project is a winner.
Right. So basically, just to sum up, Providence, you know, you can almost sit back now. You know, you've done the difficult part. It's now in the hands of the consortium. They'll get any funding that's required. And, you know, it's just a matter of doing all the paperwork to get started at the end of 2022 or whatever date it turns out to be.
No, absolutely not. What we now need to do is, you know, this is a resources project offshore Ireland, and it's a big project for the country, and it's going to attract a lot of attention. And, you know, we're the Irish company who are the operator in that field, and we've got a lot of responsibilities to ensure that the project is done in a sustainable way. The business philosophy that we deploy is to do with sort of humanity flourishing. And in order for humanity to flourish, we need to ensure that we have got a good quality environment, and that we also have a low cost of energy. And we believe that if we do Barry Row correctly, then we can achieve both of those things. Now, that has to be carefully put together so that the arguments are made, so that the local communities understand the investment profile that we're looking at and the benefits, and so that we can explain to the general public why this is a good thing. And, you know, we would anticipate some negative publicity because we're a hydrocarbon company. We're looking at the potential for carbon capture offshore as well. So there's a lot of things that we've actually got to do in order to continue to make the case for the investment. And I'm absolutely confident that we can do that. But the idea of sitting back at this point and just thinking it's just a pure engineering project with a bit of funding would be very remiss of us and very unprofessional.
A bit 1970s, perhaps.
But possibly,
I was referring really to the financial part of it, that this is a funded project now, And there isn't any, let's say, difficult aspects in terms of the funding. I mean, the announcement yesterday cleared the funding issue and cleared the project issue just as a general machine that is now set to work.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with the broad context that you just explained there. But what we can't say right now is that the funding is absolutely firm, because, you know, we need to go to the markets with our business case and work with Spot On Energy to raise the bond that supports the portion of the project that is that requires, if you like, independent funding. I think the markets are going to like it, and I think it will be funded, and I think I can say that with a pretty good degree of confidence. But that's not firmly in place yet. That's a piece of work that will be done in the coming couple of months, and once that's done, then we can be, you know, a lot more bullish in the way that we talk about the funding.
Alan Lynn, CEO at Providence Resources, thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
You're most welcome. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Right. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.